morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jorza and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football. But to kick off the show, we've got a special guest on the phone. We have Pat Terrell, former Packers safety, joining us. Mr. Terrell, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing very good. Mr. Terrell's joining us to talk about the Notre Dame Legends Charity Golf Tour to Dublin, Ireland this fall. But our show, seeing as it's based in Wisconsin, many of our listeners may remember you as a former Packers safety. Pat, what sticks out in your mind about the time you spent in Green Bay?
You know, Green Bay was an amazing place to play. Graduating from Notre Dame, has such rich tradition. When you get to the NFL, not that it's not competitive, because it certainly is, but, you know, it is entertainment. You're out there in big cities. And for me personally, to end my career in Green Bay, where the tradition is so rich, it reminded me so much of Notre Dame. The fans were absolutely amazing. So I really felt like my career went full circle, ending my career in Green Bay.
All great memories, I'm sure. The real reason we're having Mr. Terrell on the show is to talk about the Notre Dame Charity Legends Charity Golf Tour to Ireland this fall. Can you tell us a little bit more about that tour? What's going on with it?
Well, they've done a wonderful job getting together a bunch of great former Notre Dame Fighting Irish players. We're looking forward to seeing each other. But obviously, the charity is a fantastic organization. We're going to be going to Ireland, coincidentally, when Notre Dame does play Navy. We're going to be playing in some amazing golf courses, and it's really going to be nice. I mean, to get guys away together again, to sit down at lunch and dinner and to travel, to talk about some of the stories that a lot of Notre Dame fans are excited to hear about, and they get a chance to get a taste of the true inside deal of some of the great seasons that we had, get a chance to meet some of the players up close and personal.
The tour is being put on by the Executive Global Travel. You can check that out at theexecutiveglobaltravel.com. How's your golf game, Mr. Terrell, seeing as that's a big part of the tour?
Well, that was one of the early questions, when they asked me, to help out with this event. So obviously, the opportunity to go to Ireland, my answer was outstanding. it's a little rusty, but I've really been trying to get up to speed since we're going to be playing on some beautiful courses that are world renowned. So, my golf game is solid. One of the challenges of playing in a lot of these, scrambles and what have you, you just sit back and whack the ball. So this summer, I've really spent a lot of time, honing in my skills. So, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. I mean, at least it's a great opportunity to see some fantastic golf courses. As an alumni of Notre Dame, where does the national championship you won, I believe in 1988, stack up among all your accomplishments?
Wow. It wasn't until I retired after 10 seasons in the NFL did I start wearing my national championship ring. And one of the reasons, is when I reflect back and on some of the neat things I've been really fortunate to be able to be involved with and to accomplish, that really stacks up there. After the birth of my children and marriage to my wife, right up there, because it was something that we accomplished as a collegiate athlete, which is a lot different than the NFL. The NFL, we're paid to perform, paid to produce. Quite frankly, in Green Bay, you're paid to win championships. So, when you come to Notre Dame, you're there to get an education, to play high-level football, and to be able to accomplish both, I'm really proud of. No one has any money. We're all jumping 3-4 deep into somebody's hoopty car, and it's fun. You know, I still stay in touch with probably more of my former Notre Dame teammates and the guys I played with in the NFL. And I think that's strictly because you have so much in common.
Yeah, I imagine. Now, if I'm correct, you played in the famous Catholics versus Convicts game against Miami in that national championship year. What do you remember about that game?
Well, that was obviously a huge game for us. You know, the weeks leading up to that game was tremendous. Miami was number one. We knew we had a national championship contender team, you know, with Notre Dame. But, you know, the big thing I remember personally is I'm from Florida. I grew up there. I was recruited by Jimmy Johnson. Miami was high on the list of schools when I narrowed down my final schools. So, you know, I played against a lot of guys that I competed with in high school. So that game was very big for me and my family. You know, fortunately, I was able to make some big plays. I had a 65-yard interception return for a touchdown. And a lot of people remember the final play of the game where I batted down the two-point conversion. So the Notre Dame fans certainly won't let me forget it. And it was a great game to be involved with, and it was extremely competitive. You know, Miami is still bitter about it. We're still excited about it. But I truly think that was, of all the games I played in my football career, you know, ranks up in one of the top two. You remember every play because it was so incredibly intense. And, you know, I'm just very thrilled that we came out on top.
Seeing as part of the tour you're going on, Notre Dame is playing Navy in Dublin, Ireland. What's your prediction on how Notre Dame is going to do this season? They seem to have a brutal schedule with many difficult games.
You know, I've had a chance to get up to South Bend and watch some of the off-season workouts. And, you know, and like everyone in college football, everyone's going to work hard. You know, I do see a little different. In attitude and confidence. I think last year was a big confidence builder. Although we had some challenging games, you know, the team matured. And that maturity is one of, they know why the games they didn't win, why they lost. And that can't always be said in certain situations. Sometimes you lose a game and you just, you know, you can't pinpoint what happened. I really, truly think Notre Dame is going to take a big, huge leap forward, you know, being in a BCS bowl game and compete for the national championship. I know that may sound crazy, but we have the right coaching staff. We have a, you know, tremendous talent. You know, there's going to be challenges in competition at quarterback, but, you know, I think we're going to have a tough defense, a fast team, and you know, team speed kills. And I think we can match up well with everybody on our schedule. And guys know, the coaching staff understands the high level of competition every game, not just for the big games, because, you know, at Notre Dame, every game is a nationally televised game. It's a big game on that team's schedule. And we always have to, you know, bring our A game to be competitive.
Can you imagine being a player and having to play overseas? You know, they do it in the NFL now. They play a game in Europe every year, and Notre Dame traveling to Dublin here. Have you ever played in a game like that?
Yeah, when I was in the NFL, I played in when I was with Green Bay, we played in Tokyo. I think it was against Kansas City. The one thing I remember about playing Kansas City in the Tokyo Dome was that, you know, the fans weren't necessarily used to American football. And I remember at the time, the Japanese fans loved to see Brett Favre throw the ball high and see someone catch it. And obviously that's a big play. But, you know, people that are used to watching the NFL, you know, if the ball was out of bounds and caught out of bounds, you don't hear a lot of crowd noise. There it wouldn't stop. And I remember vividly, I was on defense, and we had just held them to a third and long, and the punt team was out there. I was on the sideline on the bench, and I hear the crowd go nuts. So the first thing you do as the defensive player is look up at the Jumbotron and grab your helmet because you think it's either a fumbled punt or a punt return for a touchdown. But I quickly realized that it was just a fair catch, and the fans love seeing that ball go up high and the ball caught. So I remember there was a few changes you had to get used to as far as crowd noise are concerned. But, you know, when they snap the ball, it's still football. It's still 22 men on the field. And, you know, you still got to go 100 yards and to score a touchdown.
Interesting. Before we wrap up here, I should mention that part of the proceeds from the Notre Dame Legends Charity Golf Tour goes to the Katie's Way Charity that provides assistance to children who are victims of violent relationships. Am I correct? Is that the charity that this is going to?
That is correct. It's a wonderful charity. You know, it's one of those charities that sometimes, you know, it doesn't get the media attention that it deserves. But these children and these families are in need of help. And so anything that we can do to help out is wonderful, to bring attention, to bring donations, funds for a much needed cause. That's what it's really all about. But we're excited about what it's about. We're excited about helping out. And I think it's going to be a good turnout. I hear a lot of excitement. The players are excited. The event coordinator informs us that the turnout has been overwhelming. And so if you haven't signed up yet, make sure, I'm sure we're going to leave the contact information with you guys at the end of this program. Make sure you get on board for a good cause and for a great time and a great trip and a great country.
Yes, I'll pass along that information. Mr. Terrell, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for sharing some of your memories with us. And make sure you have fun on that trip to Ireland.
Hey, I think having fun is not going to be as big of a challenge as playing my golf ball.
Well, good luck with that, too. Thank you so much for joining us. Pat Terrell, former Packers and Notre Dame safety, joining us on the show today, talking about the Notre Dame Legends Charity Golf Tour that's going to Ireland. Thanks a lot, Pat.
We'll see you anytime, guys.
Take care. Pat Terrell, once again, joining us to talk about the Notre Dame Legends Charity Golf Tour to Dublin, Ireland. Check it out at theexecutiveglobaltravel.com if you're interested. If you are a Notre Dame football fan, it's something like a week-long trip to Ireland. I think they go golfing for 4 days. You kind of have the option. You can go sightseeing or you can go golfing. But, I mean, if you're a big golf fan, this is for you. But if you're a big Notre Dame football fan, it's also for you, too. The whole trip culminates with Notre Dame's game against Navy in Dublin, Ireland to start the season. It's the season opener. I'm actually kind of excited because the game here starts at like 8 o'clock a.m. I think it's on Saturday, September 1st. It's the first Saturday of college football of the year. So like it's going to be almost a day full of football because you wake up. Notre Dame's going to be on TV at 8 a.m., and then, you know, most games get started at like 11 a.m., so you just seg right into the rest of the day, and you got a full day of football all day long, and so that's fantastic. So, thanks again to Mr. Terrell for joining us, and if you're interested in Notre Dame football, you'll have to check that out. But hey, we're here to talk about some Packers football for the rest of the show. Packers mini camp is over, ended yesterday, so we're kind of recapping, reviewing what happened at mini camp this past week, yesterday, and looking forward to training camp when that starts in July. So mini camp yesterday, the top story in this morning's Packers Daily Links, if you look on our Twitter widget there, or if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can see the link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. Top story, Aaron Rodgers mentors Graham Harrell. In an article by the Associated Press, I think Chris Jenkins wrote it, he interviewed Graham Harrell, and Packers backup this year, of course. He's looking to be the number two guy with Matt Flynn moving on in free agency. Graham Harrell had very, very many nice things to say about how basically Aaron Rodgers is taking him under his wing, helping him, doing anything he needs, answering questions, you know, just helping Graham Harrell out. And, you know, this is noteworthy, I guess, because if you remember, you know, several years ago, Brett Favre made some attention-getting statements after Aaron Rodgers was drafted by the Packers. You know, we're talking 2006, 2007 here. Basically Brett Favre said, it's not my job to coach Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't. But, I mean, it just really came off as something very snide. Very nice to your teammates, I guess. It was just really weird how that whole thing went down. And I guess it was maybe perhaps the beginning of a side of Brett Favre fans came to see a little bit later that, is it really that big of a deal that you wouldn't help Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Brett Favre was coming near the end of his career anyway. I mean, he still had several seasons left. And, you know, of course, it played into the whole thing about, Brett Favre perhaps wanting to play longer than maybe the Packers wanted him to play. But, it was nice to see from a Packers fan perspective that Graham Harrell had such nice things to say about Aaron Rodgers helping him. And I suppose the situation, you can make the argument, was a little bit different in that Aaron Rodgers, is not going to be threatened by Graham Harrell for a starting job. Whereas, in years 2, 3, 4 of Aaron Rodgers' career, he was pressing Brett Favre for his starting job, or at least would in time. So there is a bit of a difference there. But still, Aaron Rodgers has always been known as a stand-up guy, the guy who says the right things, does the right things, and just is a leader, is a captain, is a consummate teammate. And it bears out once again in how the Packers decided to go in that direction with Aaron Rodgers leading the team, and they haven't looked back. So good news, good story to hear. And another story that's making the rounds today, several stories actually. The whole media has jumped aboard the Desmond Moses bandwagon. Desmond Moses. Raise your hand if you know who Desmond Moses is. I suppose if you're listening to this show, you probably do know who he is because you're just a diehard Packer fan if you're listening to Railbird Central. But yeah, Desmond Moses, an undrafted rookie, outside linebacker out of Tulane University. Most undrafted rookies are rather unheralded. The casual fan probably has no idea who he is. But making waves at Packers minicamp. Really grabbing some attention. Clay Matthews has been out for part of minicamp, injured. And Desmond Moses taking his spot in the starting lineup. So it's not like he's going to be a starter, for the Packers this year. But with Matthews out, at least temporarily, it can only be seen as a good sign that Desmond Moses is making waves, is turning heads, is raising some eyebrows, and again, it's mini camp, it's not training camp, they haven't played in pads, so there's a long way to go. Desmond Moses has to prove himself yet in training camp when the pads go on, in preseason games, etc. But, it's a good story right now. I mean, there's nothing wrong with impressing during minicamp. Nothing wrong with it at all. That's a good thing. We hope to hear these stories about every player. You just have to curb the enthusiasm a little bit and tell yourself that, you got to see him on in pads to see what he's really made of. But nothing wrong with impressing. And so there were several articles written about Desmond Moses in the past 24 hours in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, at Packer Report. And I'll tell you, the guy who was on the Desmond Moses bandwagon, or at least, pointed out how well he's been playing. Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette, you know, said a week or two ago how well this guy was, you know, just basically pointed out he's turning some heads. He's playing well. So, you know, it's what I suppose another thing that's interesting here, too, is that Desmond Moses is getting playing time ahead of Eric Walden. Eric Walden, of course, is a guy who is the starter at outside linebacker opposite Clay Matthews for 15 games last season. You know, all but one regular season game. And so Eric Walden kind of on the outs in Green. I mean, he's fighting for a roster spot. Nobody's counting him out yet. I shouldn't say he's on the outs, but I mean, it's certainly not a good sign that an undrafted rookie is playing ahead of him in minicamp. I mean, the Packers will keep certainly more than two, probably even more than three outside linebackers. You know, they'll probably keep at least four, if not five. And, you know, there's spots to be won. But, I mean, it's looking as if, you know, you got your starters, you got Clay Matthews, you've got Nick Perry, the first-round draft choice, and there's still a long way to go in his development, too. But, I mean, he's guaranteed of a roster spot. Nobody's cutting Nick Perry. But beyond them, I mean, all these spots are up for grabs. Desmond Moses turning heads, doing a good job. You know, Eric Walden is fighting for a job. There's going to be Frank Zombo, who hasn't practiced at all during this offseason. Not a good thing for him either. But, you know, presumably he'll be ready to go in training camp. He'll be fighting for a job. And you know, just another thing that happened yesterday as well. The reports are that two guys, Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore, it had been, you know, as we found out, they have basically made the move from outside to inside linebacker. Both those guys were outside linebackers last year in 2011. They made the switch. They made the move to inside linebacker this year, trying them out at different spots, seeing if maybe that's a better fit for them. But yesterday, the final day of minicamp, after an entire offseason, they took some reps at outside linebacker as well. And maybe that's partly because of injuries, maybe because Clay Matthews was out or whatever. But I was thinking to myself, Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore, both of them made the team last year. Both of them had minimal impact. Brad Jones, of course, I think he's entering his fourth season. He's played from time to time, gotten his chance, has done a couple good things, but hasn't really stood out. So you look at the chances of these guys making the team this year, and I got to think that the chances of Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore making the 53-man roster might be best as kind of a swing linebacker, an inside-outside guy that can play both positions, providing depth at both positions. If one of those guys can do that, and one of those guys can stand out on special teams on top of that, one of them probably has a chance of making the roster. I'm not sure both do. I think it's a long shot that both do. I mean, unless the team is just unusually ravaged by injuries during training camp or something like that. Knock on wood, nobody's hoping for that. But I don't see both Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore making the team. There's a chance neither make the team, but perhaps if one of them does, it would be as a swing linebacker, a guy who can play inside, a guy who can play outside. They're probably going to be a backup at both places, but all of a sudden, if there's a couple injuries that occur, that happen, they're there and they're able to fill in. And of course, it's going to come down to special teams too. Both those guys are going to have to be integral parts of the special teams units. That's where we're at with the linebacker situation. Going to be a lot of fights for jobs in training camp this year. In fact, head coach Mike McCarthy talked about that yesterday in his press conference, his mini-camp ending press conference, talking about how it's going to be, quote, I believe, damn competitive, unquote, in training camp. We've talked about that before. I mean, with all the draft choices the Packers made on defense this year, I mean, it's going to be competitive on offense too, but with all the draft choices the Packers made on defense, their first six picks of last year's draft, all on defense, in addition to the free agent signings they made on defense, Anthony Hargrove, Daniel Muir, Philip Merling. So you bring in all these guys from the outside. Some guys are going to feel threatened, those who have been on the team before. And yeah, it's going to be a damn competitive training camp this summer for the Green Bay Packers. So, and that's where we're at right now. Minicamp has wrapped up in Green Bay, and the next thing that's going to happen is training camp for the Packers. I hope everybody enjoyed it, folks, because your coverage of the Green Bay Packers is going to drop off precipitously in the next month. There was a lot of coverage this past week because of minicamp, all the things that went on. But yeah, there's very little happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers from between now and late July. And, you know, things will come out from time to time. In fact, one thing to keep tabs on perhaps today or next week at least is that we posted in this morning's Packers calendar. The NFL is required to present evidence to defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove today, which it plans to use against him in his appeal for his suspension as part of the New Orleans Saints bounty program when Hargrove played for them in 2009-2010. So the NFL has to provide evidence to Hargrove today, and it, you know, I'm not sure that what the evidence is going to be leaked out to the media today. But the appeal will be heard at least on Monday. So when everybody comes back from the weekend, that appeal will take place, and of course you'll know the outcome of that, whether it's upheld by Commissioner Roger Goodell, who we found out does have jurisdiction over Anthony Hargrove and all the New Orleans Saints suspended players, their suspensions, or whether perhaps Anthony Hargrove's 8-game regular season suspension could be reduced. So we wait to find out what will happen there, because that could have it would have implications if it is reduced, we don't really know what's going to happen, but kind of been waiting to find out what's going to happen with Anthony Hargrove. So that'll be in the news next week, and kind of perhaps maybe the biggest part of Packers news over the next week or so. But it's Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back again on Monday with another edition of Railbird Central. Have a happy Father's Day weekend, everyone. Have a happy Father's Day weekend. I know I'm going to be going, attending some events with my father-in-law this weekend. Wish I could be spending time with my father, but travel is preventing that. But anyhow, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you again on Monday. On behalf of our live blog directors, Jamie Jors, John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go, Pack. Go.